Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will. Let's turn in our. Would you stand with me just a minute? And boy, I like that good singing. I like this atmosphere. And I want to praise God for Calvary. You ought to learn some of those names, Golgotha and Calvary. And that's Bible talk. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Don't get so hyper-dispensational that you can't get a blessing. This is the house of the Lord. And don't y'all get so spiritual that you think you're, you know, I know our body's a tabernacle, but I like this place. I like a church that looks like a church. I like pews. Amen. And boy, it's good to be in the house. I like it when it sounds like church. That music sounds like church music. I thank the Lord for that. And man, I wasn't that skit something? I never thought, man, like the captain was going to show up. Did anybody else get sucker punched besides me on that? And then, y'all been listening this week. When, oh, was it Biff, the hip dude, like chill dude? Like, old Biff comes up and I heard Joe holler, "That's your Jonah," you know. And that's good. Well, God help us. It's serious business. The sun is setting on the age of grace. And young people, let me tell you, all indications are pointing to an imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day not far from now, this robe of flesh we will drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize. And I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God. He's a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And unto them that look for him the second time, he's coming with a second advent. And he's going to show up in the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But until then, we've got a job to do. We've got a challenge before us, and I want to help you if I can. In Exodus chapter number 25, page 100 in the Scofield, old Scofield reference edition of the Bible. If you don't have an old Scofield reference edition of the Bible, you're living under a strong disadvantage, and y'all get you page 100. The Lord has always, young people, you can remain standing just a minute. The Lord's always and always has and always will desire fellowship with his creation man. Now don't get excited, stay calm, but you know, God wants to meet with us. The Bible precedent for that was when there weren't but two people on earth. You remember Adam and Eve, in the cool of the evening, every evening, God had come down every evening, and it was something like this, I suppose. "Hey, Adam, come here a minute. Eve, what y'all been doing?" Well, he's a sovereign God. He's an omniscient God. He knew what they had been doing. He's an omnipresent God. He was already there while they were doing it. But he just wanted to talk to them. What'd y'all name that polka dotted looking thing over there? With that long neck, a giraffe, that's a good name. What about that striped looking donkey? That's a zebra. Yeah, he looks like a zebra. God desired fellowship. I mean, he exercised a way, he made a way to meet with him. And as God's people traveled throughout this exodus from Egypt, we find where in verse number 8, he declared unto the leader Moses, said, "I want you to let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Let me just say, the word dwell gives the connotation of a permanence. He didn't just say, "I want to come by and visit." But good news for the high priest of this generation. We are priests. We are a royal priesthood. And good news to you that God doesn't just want to come by once in a while like he did in this annual atonement for sin we'll look at tonight, but he wants to stay with us, dwell with us. And he said, verse 9, according to all that I show them after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you this evening, and I'm burdened tonight about the direction of the church. We're living in this Laodicean church age. Everything you wrote, everything Paul wrote to the church, everything John saw on the Isle of Patmos, as we look at this latter-day church, we're seeing a fulfillment right before our eyes. The writings of Jude, as he identifies apostates, we're tangibly seeing, we're hearing, we're watching, seeing a falling away, great falling away. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to draw nigh to God. You promised us if we would draw nigh to you, that you'd draw nigh to us. And I pray tonight you'd stir our want to get closer to God. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. And we're looking for you just any day, Jesus. Even so, come quickly, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I would not insult your intelligence tonight, but try beginning to expound upon all of the specifics of the tabernacle that we study throughout the Old Testament. Young people, y'all listen real close. I'm going to be preaching to three groups of people in here this afternoon, this evening. I'm going to be preaching to those. When I start preaching, they're going to go and say, what is he talking about? Now, honestly, there's some natural-minded people. No doubt a crowd this size, we would be naive to think everybody in here is saved. And if you are lost and you've made it through all these services until now and you hadn't been saved yet, listen, I wouldn't risk it. If I felt any kind of drawing of the Holy Ghost, I'd get on this altar so fast it'd make your eyes roll back. I'd get saved. I mean, I'd get saved quick. I'd trust him. Amen. I'd get saved. But I'm going to be addressing a natural man. There's some natural men here. And when I'm preaching, they just be going, what is he talking about? It's tabernacle. I'm going to be talking about an outer court and a holy place. And I'm going to be talking about the holiest, what some theologians have identified as the holy of holies. And you're going to be going, what in the world? Dude. Like Biff, somebody help me. And then I'm going to be addressing another crowd who's going to be saying, I know he's right and that's all true, but man, they're carnal. It's kind of an oxymoron, a carnal Christian. I mean, it doesn't work together, but we should say carnal saved person. Because a Christian is Christ-like. How do you say, a fat skinny? An ugly purdy, a stank that smells good. Somebody help me. Carnal Christian. But I'm going to be addressing some that have been identified through the years as carnal Christians. They're just here because their mama made them come. They don't have any plans to serve the Lord. I wished it wasn't so, Brother Treber, but my spirit doesn't bear witness with everybody in this room. I can preach and see people bowing and resisting while I'm preaching. Come say that to me if I could reach that far. Somebody help me. But then there's an element in this room that wants a closer walk with God. There is a remnant. They're always, thank God, hallelujah, praise his holy name, that there always has been a remnant that sought after God, that desired a fellowship with God, a closeness with God, communion with God. I mean, they want to sup with him. And he wants to sup with you. You don't have to convince God into wanting to hang around you. He desires to dwell with them. Now, y'all work at listening. In this story, in the application, and I've studied after M.R. DeHaan and great Bible theologians that can take the details of the red badgered skins of the tabernacle, this temporary dwelling place that God's people used in the Exodus, and they make all these applications that are so true. But I want to take you kind of a fast bird's eye view of what took place. There was an event annually called the Atonement. And the high priest, he would try to get to the holiest place, the holiest. The goal behind that was to make an atonement for sin. Now over here, would everybody look around? Let's say the holiest. Say it with me, the
holiest.
This is going to be the holiest. And over at the holiest, look at me. Hey, that's where God does his work. In that holiest is the ark of God. In that holiest, I'm telling you, hey, there's an altar there. There's a basin for blood. It's a holy, it's where God does his work. And that's where God proves his power. That's where God proves his provision. That's where God's presence was real. It was real. It was, and that high priest had to get there. But he couldn't just go any way he wanted. And most Christians I know, they would love to experience the presence of God. They'd love to live in the power of God. They would love it, man. I mean, I desire it for my family. Troy's here, and I say hey to my family across the way. Amen. The greatest pastor's wife, Miss Tracy, in the world. How you doing, baby? Y'all laugh. Okay, now. Watch me. But I can't get in there for her. To meet in this holiest, it was one at a time. It was personal. They didn't four or five priests go in. The veil's been rent, by the way. Amen. And we now have access in there. Hey, it's 24/7, friend. You can get there if you want to get there. It's available to all believers. It's not a generational thing. It's not a cultural thing. Amen. I'm talking about every Christian in this room, from the oldest white-haired saint to the youngest teenager. Hey, it's a possibility that you live within the realm of the power and the provision and the presence of God Almighty. It's available to you. But I can't get in there for you. I wish I could get my deacon board to get there. I'd love to take them in there. I wish I could get my children. I wish I could get our singers at church that sing for the glory of God, and our choir members and our Sunday school teachers and bus captains to get in this place and find that communion with God and live within the realm of his power and live within the realm of the presence of God. And I'm not talking about some kind of a spooky something. I'm not talking about a charismatic experience. I'm not talking about some unintelligible tongue. I'm talking about a reality, a relationship, a presence of God. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. I remember not long ago we had a meeting at our church and I had a group to sing. They were good quality singers. They're noted singers and they're godly people. And they got up and I mean, man, the singer began to sing and I could name his name, you'd know him. And I mean, you know, he performed. And he was good. And they sang that song, It's Still the Blood. Lois Gill wrote that song from West Virginia. And man, it's a beautiful song, beautiful lyrics, great truth. How many knows It's Still the Blood? Raise your hand. When I do like this, I'm not praising yet. I'm going to get there in a minute. But right now, it's just everybody do that. Okay. And I mean, Still the Blood. And man, it's a good song. When he got through singing, I mean, man, everybody in there, man, our people have been schooled and preached enough that they know the difference between big woods and brush, and they knew that was a doctrinal truth, but they didn't necessarily like the performance. He'd been watching too many Gaither things, you know. I didn't know singing was supposed to hurt. Man, I do that. Shaking that cord. Somebody help me. I mean, I was looking for me. Thank you very much. But excuse me, sir. That's my Jonah. Watch me. And man, he performed, and man, our people said amen to the lyrics. About that time, there was a people from Sand Mountain, Alabama, the Henderson family, and she stepped into the meeting. I said, Sister Patsy, would y'all come up here and sing one for us? And her two daughters came down, no accompaniment, no microphone. They stood in front of the communion table. And she just stepped out and started singing, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls. Diseases. No, not one. No, not one. For Jesus. And about that time, the power of God fell in there. what you out west and up north call a spontaneous altar call. I mean, people started coming to the altar and praying. And I mean, 30 minutes later, we're still praising God. I looked over at that performer. He's a good man. He's my friend. But I could see, I believe God gives his men discernment. And I saw him, he had a look on his face like, who are they? They didn't even have a tape music behind them. They didn't even have none of that. They didn't have a pianist. Who are they? They've got faded out blue jean skirts and run over kid white tennis shoes and they got those doctor scrubs for blouses, but something's different. I could read on his face, what's going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on, young people. Those three ladies have been over in here. They'll make a difference. But watch me, you just can't get over there. If it was that easy, we'd all have the power of God on us. I mean, that'd all be a tangible presence upon our life. Hey, that would all our needs would be met. Hey, we'd all see God's power exercised in our life, but you just can't hop over there. That's where God does his work. You got to start through the outer court. This outer court was the largest part of that tabernacle. Y'all stay with me. And in this outer court, hey, that's where Jesus does his work. Jesus does his work in outer court. Now watch it. And I believe the Holy Spirit does his work at the holy place. Now you can argue with me all you want to. When I get through, you're going to look pretty stupid arguing with me on this. Jesus is going to do his work out here. The Holy Ghost is going to, because in this holy place, now watch me, you got a lampstand, you've got a table of showbread, you got a laver here, you got an altar of incense. It's a place where a Holy Ghost does his work. Thank God. When I say Holy Ghost, y'all ought to do a little bit more moving than what you're doing. Most Baptists are scared of the Holy Ghost. I said Holy Ghost. Hallelujah for the power of God. Holy Ghost. And he does his work. But now watch me. You've got to go. He said, I've got a pattern. If they're going to meet with me and I'm going to dwell with them, they just can't do it any way they want to do it. Right. Here's the norm for today. We're just going to worship the Lord in our own way. Look at me. You can't worship the Lord in your own way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You can't just do it any way you want to do it. So let it be an outer court. It's out of court. Watch me. It's a place of sacrifice. In the outer court, hey, that's where those sacrifices were brought. That's where the bullock was brought that was filleted and skint, and his entrails were set aside. It was where the lamb was brought, where the lamb was cut from chin to chin. It's where the turtle dove was brought, where the head and the thumb and the forefinger would behead that turtle dove and the blood was squeezed. Hey, it was a place of sacrifice. You know why we've lost a generation's got the touch of God on them? Because they don't want to give up anything. They want something that costs nothing. You couldn't bring just any old lamb in. You couldn't bring just any old broke leg bullock in. You couldn't bring some featherless dove in. There were strict requirements that if you were going to make a sacrifice, it had to be holy. It had to be whole. We're trying to give God part of our life. We'll let you have this part on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We want the power of God on it. We want God to answer our prayers. We want to live. We want God to bring us the right mate, young lady. You want God to bring you the right girl, young man. Hey, you want that good job. But wait a minute. You're not willing to sacrifice to get over there where you can get some answered prayer. It's a place of sacrifice. We want something for nothing. This generation has been so bailed out. You don't feel good, so mama writes a little note, he's sick today. You wasn't sick. Your mama lied. Hey man, we've always an excuse. Well, he's got ADDTYTTYXYADT. Sure you do, but a good belt will knock that out of you. Hey man. Excuses. Well, my son didn't get his nap. Old Biff didn't get his nap. He's hungry. No, look at me. He didn't get his whipping. He didn't get his whipping. We want everything easy, everything just to come our way. Some of you preachers in here, young preachers, think you're going to graduate with some sheepskin from this institution and all the doors are going to fly open. Hadn't y'all seen that don't always work? You gotta sacrifice some if you're going to get over there. I'm talking about, man, there had to be, hey, hide and guts and blood. We want something for nothing. It's a place not only of sacrifice, it's a place where the best was brought, it's a place where the valued, but it's a place of suffering. I tell you why we can't get over there where we need to be, where God's doing something. Because we're not willing to suffer. We want everybody to like us. We want to be received by everybody. We want, hey, look up here. We want everybody on both sides of the fence to put their approval and pat us on the back and give us accolades. And hey, we want everybody to like us. We want everybody, no suffering, no sacrifice. Amen. Every church service is user friendly. Everybody's welcome at our church. But not everybody ought to be comfortable at our church. Young man, if you're a fornicator, your preacher ought to scare the pure D, devil out of you. Young lady, if you're loose and you're if you're loose, you ought to be real nervous. Sir, if you're cheating on your wife, you got to fit the whiskey under the seat of your car out there. You ought to be, if I knew about it, I'd call your name out. Amen. Everybody's welcome, but everybody will be comfortable. We want to try to make a place. We want to have a place, a church. We want to make a place where Jesus is, but everybody's comfortable. We don't want any suffering. Stay with me. You ought to have been over at our service. We had Tim Tebow in. It was so uplifting. Now what you need is a devil preached out of you. What part of 2 Timothy do they not understand? Chapter number, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and then exhort. We've raised a generation that is absolutely so weak. They can't even take preaching. We've raised a generation that can't ride a bicycle without a helmet. I mean, look at Obama's picture. Somebody help me. The day I put a helmet on to ride a bicycle, y'all pray for me. Is everybody all right? Toughen up, friend. We can't take preaching. We can't take long services. We can't take accountability. It's come as you are and leave as you were. Out here in this outer place, it's a place of suffering. It's a place of sacrifice. Can I say this? It's a place of separation. They had to leave the world to come into the tabernacle. Look at me, young people. Separation is not a bad word. I preach in preachers' fellowships occasionally. And man, I can be preaching any doctrinal truth. You preach on eschatology and things to come, they'll shout you down about the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But you just mentioned the word separation. It's like you've said a cuss word. Look at me. Separation, my friend, is as much a Bible doctrine as the blood atonement is. Come out from among them, be separate, thus saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father unto you, be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Are y'all listening? But rather reprove them. Yeah. Amen. You're never going to make it over there until you learn to separate some. We're different. A peculiar people. Man, you go to church. I don't understand it. Trying to humanize God and deify man. We're trying to bring God down on our level over here in this outer court. Bring God down we want to bring God down where we are. Hey, thank God he did come down through a virgin's womb. But I'm telling you, if you're going to get saved, you've got to get saved God's way. go to church now. Put your hands together. Everybody, Jesus, JC's in the house. Amen. The roof is on fire. I don't feel anything on that. What things are lovely? What things are pure? If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, you're gonna have to, young person. Look at me. Hey, you're gonna have to get out of here sooner or later. I'm convinced tonight, if y'all listening, I'm convinced tonight that most of the people I pastor at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church have never got out of here. I'm not saying they're not saved. That's where you meet Jesus out here. You get saved in out of court. That's where you meet Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for salvation. It's free. It's a free pardon of sin. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's an invention. But wait a minute. But man, that's not where you're going to stay if you're going to ever get over here. You got to come out of there and go to a holy place. Holy place. First thing you got to do is you got to wash up over in this holy place. There's a laver. There's a place to wash. No wonder you're so uncomfortable. This holy place represents New Testament church Christianity, as far as I'm concerned. It's where the power of the Holy Ghost manifests himself. That's where you learn something. It's got only light in the tabernacle. Hey, the only light in the tabernacle is in the holy place. You're not going to get any light on these chat rooms and internet acts. Look at me now. You need to get under some old-fashioned leather lung, high blood pressure, Holy Ghost, bug-eyed, gravy-sopping, biscuit-eating, hey, hell, fire and brimstone, King James only, Bible, preaching. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Hey, Paul said, for as much as is in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. That's where the holy place, that's where the word of God's expounded. In that holy place, there's a table of showbread, young people. There's 12 loaves on it. 12 loaves, they couldn't just line them up 12, so they put them 6 by 6. Understand, this was before the Pentateuch was completed. And the Holy Ghost said, y'all lay them 12 loaves, 6 by, it's loaves, it's like bread. 12 of them. 6 by 6 looks like a 66 to me. 66 books in your Bible. I mean, it had already been canonized and finalized in the mind of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be 66 books. It starts with Genesis and ends with Revelation. Don't y'all get excited about that and act like you knew that before I said it. That's the only place you're going to find. Hey, that's the light of the Holy Ghost. He illuminates his bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word to proceed that mouth of God. But you got to wash up for you to be comfortable. Now, they got blood on them and feathers on them. They've been out here in this outer court. They got hair on them. They come in this holy place. They got to get cleaned up. Some of y'all never going to get over here because you won't clean up. You're too carnal. You reek with the world. You reek with Moab. You got Moab all over you. You reek with the world. And then you come in here to this holy place and that light begins to shine on that bread. And the preacher begins to expound truth. And the Sunday school teacher teaches you truth. And the youth director takes the Bible and gives you line on line. And the priest said, also, you did. Well, I think he's talking about me. I think he was preaching to me. I hope so. People out here in the outer court, this is what they always say. I just don't see anything wrong with it. That's what they always say. I don't, because you can't see much out here. You got to go where the light is. Shining on the word. I just don't see, hey, I just don't see anything wrong with dressing like Madonna, Lady Gaga. I just don't see anything wrong with this effeminacy. It's just cultural. Hey, there were some cultures over there. Hey, on those islands, I can take you, I'm not going to, but there's some cultures where they go naked. That don't make nakedness right because it's cultural. There's some Aborigines. Hey, there's some tribes and some lands and islands. Hey, they don't wear a stitch of clothes. Does that make it right because it's cultural? My hind leg. But that's the mentality. But that's why you never get comfortable under preaching. I just don't see anything wrong. And you're constantly, you show up about 2 or 3 times, don't make it to prayer meeting, late to Sunday school. And you're just living your life, young person out here in this outer court. Living your life out here, hey, powerless, unanswered prayer, no purpose in life, no direction in life. Always doubting your salvation, constantly doubting your salvation. Did I repent enough? Did I say the right words? Well, if you get under preaching, you'd find out it's not all about that. It's a gift of God, not a word. But you won't stay long enough to get eternally secure. It's a place over there where the Holy Ghost, he illuminates his word. You got to get ready to go into this place. Got to get cleaned up. When I go to church, I get ready to go to church. I just don't jump and go to church. I get ready. When I get in the truck, first thing I do, hit track one. And old Vestal Goodman comes on. And the Happy Goodman, God walks the dark heaves, the highways and byways. And I say, whoa. Hit track two. And the primitives come on. Well, I'm no longer an orphan. Somebody's rescued me. My clothes no longer are tattered. My family is royalty. And I say, whoo, hallelujah. I hit track three and old Peg McCamey comes on there. For the God of the mountain, it's still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. For the God of the good time. And I say, whoo, hallelujah. A preacher man says it's the end of time. And the Mississippi River is going dry. Anybody, a country boy can't survive. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, you don't even know how to go to church. You come in so carnal and fighting, disrespecting your mama, back-talking your daddy. Got your dress 3 inches too short. So tight you squeak when you walk. Yeah, man. You don't get ready for church. Fighting and fussing. Arguing over a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Got your mind 10,000 miles from the showbread. Got your mind 10,000 miles, hey, from that altar of incense. You got your mind 10,000 miles from the things of God. Hey, no wonder you don't ever get over there. You can't even stay in here. You get over here, and there's an altar of incense. There's a fire burning over there. Sweet-smelling savor. It's a sacrifice unto God. It's smoke. It's filled that room. Filled that. In fact, it would drift over into the holiest. It's a place of praise. That's, by the way, praise is not some foreign doctrine. It's not a charismatic thing. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I mean, everybody do this. Exhale. You qualify. Did you know that doxology is not just some kind of a song that they sing in dead Bible colleges? Doxology, ology is a study of, doxology is a study of worship. A study of it. Praising God. The praise is an act of the will. The psalmist never said, I'm made to, you ought to. Every time he says, we will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's an act of the will. And willingly, you get in this holy place where the Holy Ghost is doing his work. Watch me. And he's illuminating his word. And then God shows you something you never saw before. And he shows you something you need. And you ever been preaching? Have you ever heard of preaching? I didn't see that. Man, I didn't see that. You know what that was? That was the blessed Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he gives light to his revelation. Man, that ought to make you swing your Bible by the ribbon, let somebody hold your mules and run around the building a little while. When God shows up and gives you a word from God, hey, praise God. It's an opportunity to render praise. It's a smoky place. You know where there's fire, there's smoke. We heat with wood in Tennessee. My daddy heated with wood. We cut hickory. That's why I don't like anything west of the Mississippi too much. Y'all don't have enough trees over here. Somebody say amen. We heat with white oak and hickory. We start our fires with fat lighted pine or dried cedar. And we've always had a fire. I cut wood when I was a boy. We always had a fire. This global warming's about to freeze me to death. Somebody say amen. I mean, man, at our church, we cut down 4 trees we don't need on Earth Day and burn 8 or 10 tractor tires. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. It got cold about September, about 3 years ago. Man, it got cold. It frosted in September. That's unusual for us. I mean, we had hay that hadn't even been cut yet. It frosted. I mean, it's cold. I walked into church, and my mama was sitting on about third row from the back. When I walked by, I said, "Hey, mama." She said, "You've started your fire, haven't you? You started your fire." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I can smell it on you." When you get used to this holy place, you get around where there's rendered praise, you get around where the Word of God's being expounded, where the Holy Ghost is illuminating His Word, where you're getting fed from God's Word, it'll show up on you. My mama looked at me, she said, "I can smell it." By the way, sometime where it's smoke, look at me, where there's fire to heat you up, it'll warm you up. Because iniquity doth abound, the love of many. Because iniquity doth abound, the love of many is waxed cold. Because iniquity doth abound, abounding, going beyond the boundaries, exceeding. Hey, iniquity's exceeded the boundaries. Because iniquity doth abound, the love of many is waxed cold. It's cold in most churches. Many are called and few are chosen. Many are cold and a bunch of y'all's frozen. Amen. But you get around this stuff, it'll get good. All of a sudden, man, and smoke will make, and sometimes smoke will make your eyes water. 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 We've lost our tears. Because we're so busy out here in the tower.
I just don't see anything wrong with it. I just don't see why you got to go Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm saved and everything. I was baptized. I just don't see why you got to go Sunday morning. I'm going to college. Way. I don't think I got to go every time the church doors are open, do I?
Oh, yeah, like Hebrews 10:25. "And not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more." As you see the day approach. Amen. Hey, y'all hear me? I'm trying my best. Yodelay, oh, delay, oh, delay. Well, good morning, Captain. Are y'all awake? Watch me. Holy place. Y'all need to like the holy place. It'll show, it'll make a difference. People will notice those who've gotten comfortable in the holy place. Hey, you go to hanging around that holy place and staying there faithfully Sunday morning, every time the doors are open, watch me. Hey, reading your Bible, praising God, giving the Lord thanks. I tell you what, in a minute, somewhere down that line, he'll say, "Come here a minute." The Lord will say over here, "Say, come here, I want to show you something." He see, you're not always back and forth. You've done got comfortable in the atmosphere of church. You're not always nervous. Here's this crowd in the outer court. "I just couldn't take that kind of beating every Sunday. I would have Brother Tony, but I don't think our church is ready for him. Because we couldn't take that. I didn't think you're supposed to shear the sheep. I thought you're supposed to feed the sheep." Stay out here then. Stay out here. Stay out here. Amen. That might be your Jonah. Somebody say amen. Stay out here. But you can get in here and you get to liking this stuff. And God will say, "Come a minute. Let me show you something not everybody gets to see." Now I'm going to tell y'all something, young people. I'm not saying that I'm there. I'm not saying I'm there. Can y'all hear me say I? I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm going to tell you something. I have been here before. And can I tell you right now, I'm not talking about some out-of-the-body experience. I'm not talking about some unintelligible tongues. I'm not talking about some kind of spooky something. I'm talking about something that can happen. I'm talking about something you can live in this realm. I don't know that I'm there right now. I want to be there. And if you've ever been here at all,
Thank God my daddy, Dr. Curtis Hudson, set a conducive atmosphere at 923 Valley Brook Road to where we could get in there. He couldn't make us get in there. Hey, our youth department, our youth director couldn't force us in there, but they laid a conducive atmosphere like we're in tonight, like we've been in, where there is an access to the power of God and the presence of God and the provision of God. It's over here.
Come on.
And it's real. It's real. And he says, come over here, I want to show you something. And you look over there in that ark. It's the Ark of God. I don't know who has the Ark of God. Some of you Bible professors can tell me. If the Muslims have it, I don't know. If they do, we're going to get it back from them rug riders. Genie in a bottle. Somebody help me. Abdullah. Somebody help me. We're going to get it back. Y'all can't hear me in the back? Act like you can hear me so it'll make me feel good. I didn't break the thing. Somebody help me. Hey, watch it. Over here. Over here. He said, I want to show you. And you open that ark of God over there. First thing you're going to see is a broken tablets of the law. Broken tablets of the law. That's what condemned us. The law is a schoolmaster under grace. It reminds you of your past. You know, you used to be lost if you're saved tonight. Bible said, John 3, you were condemned already because you'd not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You was already condemned. But the blood was applied. There was atonement made. And that covered the law. Don't get excited. Praise God for a brazen altar. I mean, man, it's a place where the blood can be applied, where your sins can be covered. And that's what you find. You find out over here. You find out over here in that ark, hey, that God, it's rod of Aaron. It blossoms, blooms, and buds. It's bread over here. You find out some things over here you won't find out in there, you won't find out in there. It's bread. It's the bread of God, and it's called manna. And after all these years, it's manna of God. It was identified. But now watch this. People over here, whoever get over here, I'm pastoring some people now who hadn't got here yet. Because every single Sunday, inevitably I get cornered by some people. Brother Tony, can I talk to you for a minute? I just don't know. I don't know for sure if I'm saved. Brother Tony, can I talk to you a minute? Did I repent enough? Did I say the right words? Don't act like y'all hadn't done it. And then over here, but you find out over here that the blood was applied. What you find out over here is that God loves. It ain't what you said that saved you. The thief on the cross prayed a pretty good prayer. He said, if thou be the Son of God, save us and thyself. When you prayed, you're talking to God, ain't you? Was the thief on the cross talking to God? If you be the Son of God, save us and thyself. Hey, he went straight to hell with a little old prayer. Save us and thyself. I didn't get it for him. Don't bow up on me. I mean, I'm King James only. That is Bible, right?
Yes, sir.
But you find out over here, it wasn't what you said that saved you. It's what he did that saved you.
Amen.
You get over here, you won't be over here all the time. Can I talk to you after the service? I'm not sure I'm saved.
Right.
You find out he loves. For God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Man, hallelujah. When we were yet without strength in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. All we like sheep had gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's what you learn over here. I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, I'm sure you others have doubted, but ever since I got in here, I'm talking about I met with God, I found out this stuff was real. Hey, I didn't have to hear somebody tell me about it. I didn't have to read a story about it. I didn't have to hear a sermon about it. But I found it was real for myself. I've not doubted my salvation. You found out he loves. You found out he lives. That rod of Aaron, what about that rod, sir? Blossomed, bloomed, and budded. No sunlight, no fertilizer. Been in an ark, been closed up. No O2. No H2O. Just showing you country preachers do know a little bit. Hey, what about that place? That rod, hey, it proved he lives. You, some of y'all have heard all about how God can answer prayers for everybody else. Your mamas cried and testified. And could I say a word for the Lord? I just want to thank them for answering my prayer. And you're bragging on. You've heard about your granny talking about how God heard her. And you've heard about sick people who prayed for the touch of God on their body. And God, and man, but one day you're going to need some of that for yourself. Papa's prayers won't do, and Mama's testimonies won't do. One day, young person, young man, hey, you're going to need to have some prayers answered for yourself.
Amen.
The God we serve lives.
Yes.
We're taking it off. We was raising $50,000 a few years ago. I had this man who'd been coming, his children riding our bus, and he fell off of a roof and broke his back, and he was up at the hospital. I went up there to pray with him. Eddie. And he said, Brother Tony, said, I know I just started coming to church, but he said, I hate even to ask, but I'm out of work and it's almost Christmas, and would it be okay, man? I mean, I can't even pay my power bill. I said, don't worry about it, Eddie, we got it, man. I went to the deacons, I said, man, we got to help Eddie and him out. Well, a few months later, he got out of the hospital. Come to me again. But Brother Tony, I need to talk to you in an office. And he began to explain this dire situation. I mean, man, he was desperate. And I said, okay, Eddie, you know, we'll help you with your house payment. And then they needed groceries. I mean, I know y'all so spiritual, y'all not like me, but I'm about, you know, that's about enough, Hoss. You know, I wish the deacons would pay my light bill. I'm sick of this. And we took up that offering, and man, we were short $10,000. We took up $40,000 for this offering. We're short $10,000. I didn't want to announce it. I wanted to wait. Maybe God will do something. I was trying to trust in God. But, man, I had strong doubts. I mean, $10,000 for a church our size. I'm thinking, I mean, we've already got $40,000. Y'all ought to be glad for that. I'm already starting that, you know, humanism, you know.
Yeah.
Psychobabble. Really? I mean, you ought to be glad. Like Biff would say, like chill. I mean, you got $40,000, dude. But I mean, we needed 50. I was in my office studying one morning, Sunday morning, and here comes Eddie. The Lord knocks on the door. Brother Tony, can I talk? And his wife was with him, Brenda. Can we talk to you a minute? I said, look, man, I'm studying. You know, Sunday morning. You know, I'm trying to get something to preach, but I'm in here with God, you know. Me and God's meeting. Hey, Eddie, me and God's meeting right now. And he said, well, I want to talk about these ties. And I said, I hate ties. I wear ties because preachers are supposed to wear ties. I don't like ties. I despise. He said, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about them ties you put in the offering plate. I'm thinking, man, here's this dude. We've already paid his light bill, bought his kids Christmas. Hey, that bought his groceries. Now he's wanting to see how much he wanted to rob the ties. And I said, what do you mean, ties? What are you talking about, tithes? He said, I'm talking about them tithes, you know, when we take up the offering every Sunday. He said, I'm talking about those tithes, you know, that we put. You always talk about y'all to tithe. And said, I'm worried about them tithes. He said, listen, said, you know, I fell off of that building. I broke my back. I said, yes, sir, I know. He said, I'm aware of that. He said, man, it was hard on us. And said, but the insurance check came in. And he said, Brother Tony, he said, what's the tithes on $100,000? I said, come on in, Eddie. Sit down. You need a cigarette or anything? I mean, I know you're a new convert. Bring the ashtrays, y'all. Hey, God showed up. God revealed himself, and friend of mine, over and over and over again, young person. Hey, you're looking at a man who has no regrets. Hey, God's always come through. He's never let me down. He's never left me stranded. He's never left me hungry. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. But you don't find that out till you find that out on your own. He lives. That rod was a picture of life. There's a piece of manna in there.
It's called manna. It's called heavenly bread, angel bread. In that manna is a picture we want to see. If you cock the lid open on that ark, if you were to look over in that ark, you'd see that bread. It was identifiable. You understand, it's been there for hundreds of years. At that particular time, it had been there for a length. But I found out, you know, bread sometimes can lose its identity. I come home at night from preaching. I walk. First thing I do is go to my refrigerator. Refrigerator. We call it refrigerator. I open the refrigerator door, man, I'm looking for red top milk. Can I get a witness? Somebody say amen. Sir, if you're drinking that pink top, listen, either you're scared of your doctor or your wife runs your home. Amen. Man, I look for a Coca-Cola. I went in and I was going to make me a sandwich. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I drove all night to get home. Tracy's in the bed. And then I ran in there and I opened the cupboard and I reached for the bread bag. And all of a sudden, looked like a rat was in that bag. I pulled that plastic bag and it was a piece of molded. The heel of that bread had molded. It looked like it grew hair on it. Can I get a witness? Dark purple. I mean, I'm thinking, man, this is a full-blown wharf rat. In my bread bag. But it was bread that had lost its identity. You crack open that Ark of the Covenant, you're going to see some manna. And it looks just like it fell down from heaven. It's fresh. Can I tell you that when you get over here, you'll find out that the Lord loves. You'll find out that the Lord lives. And you'll find out that the Lord lasts. It lasts. After all this time, after all these years, after all those days, no preservatives, all it had was a touch of God on it. Hey, Brother Troy, when stuff gets a touch of God on it, it'll last a while. I'm not looking for a new way. You get over here, you'll find out old-time religion lasts. I tell that contemporary crowd, trot your pony out. Let's see what you got. I can't tell them from the world. Yeah, man, I can't tell their tactics, their terminology. I can't tell their theology from the world. It's all the same. It's a hodgepodge. It lasts. Some of y'all ain't been over here yet. Some of y'all just getting acclimated to this holy place. Let me say, just keep on coming. Just keep on, be faithful. I'm talking about steadfast, I'm always, just keep on coming. Keep on coming. Keep on reading your Bible. Keep on requesting of God. Keep on seeking it. Keep on looking for it. Because if you seek after God long enough, he'll draw nigh to you. You get over here and it'll change your life. Here's the sad reality, and I'm coming to a conclusion. The sad reality is, I preached this message at our church, and a 76-year-old woman came to me with tears streaming down her cheeks. She was an ex-pastor's wife. Her husband is already in heaven. This is a pastor's wife who grew up in our kind of church. And she looked at me with a quivering bottom lip and said, Brother Tony, she said, I've been saved for 60 years. And she said, I've lived out here my whole Christian life. She said, could you pray that I can get over there? Can't do it for you. Dr. Trieber wants you over there, but he can't do it for you. That's right. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. It all starts with a desire. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Do you really want to be there? Great message. We need a generation that has experienced the holiest. We need a generation that desires the power, the presence, the provision of God. But you can't just get there. You can't bypass this outer court. You can't skip around on the holy. You got to go the pattern that he described specifically. How many in this room say, Brother Tony, I desire that closeness. I'd like to have answered prayer consistently. I'd like to feel God. I'm talking about the tangible manifestation of the power of God. I'd like to feel that when I pray. We want it. Would you raise your hand and say, I want some of that? If you're lost, you can't get it till you get saved. You got to have your work done in the outer court. You got to meet Jesus. Youth workers, you know in your crowd who may be lost, who's not bearing any fruit. Why don't you touch the shoulder of one of those in your youth department you think might be lost and come with them to this altar tonight and share with them the gospel. Let them get in the family. But how many Christians in here say, I desire that closeness you preached about. I want to get over there where God is. Would you lift your hand again? I want it. As we stand to our feet, pianist begins playing invitation. Yeah, why don't you just come now? I want it. If it's available, I want it. If it's available and I can have it, I want it. The veil has been rent. Access is available. Man, what a difference it'd make in our families. What a difference it'd make in our homes. What a difference it'd make in our churches if we just all seek that place. God help us. Yeah, from the balcony, it'd be good to come. Hear my humble cry. Sing the remainder of the chorus. While on others thou art calling, do. Young people, let's don't get in a hurry in this altar now. Just don't, hey, sir, son, just still walk back down where you was. Stay right there. That'd be good a little. I won't hurt you a little bit. Pray a little longer. Let's don't try to walk back through this crowd. Let's just pray a little while. Let's just pray a little while. You say, well, I've already prayed enough for me. Pray for me then. Pray for my family. Pray for Dr. Treber. Pray for your pastor a little while. God help us. Are you lost? You're never going to get over there till you get saved. You're going to lead us. What page is it? 296. 297. Turn there with us. Let's sing it together on that first verse. Hey, mind the Lord. Don't quench him. Don't grieve him. Don't resist him. Pass me not. Sing it now. Pass me not.